Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens with the always humble Brad Lominick.
Yes, I am the most humble person you will ever meet in your entire life.
I'm the greatest. You know more about humble than any. You've written books on humble.
Yes. The reality here, folks, is that there's no one more humble than me. Isn't that the worst when you hear somebody talk about their level of humility in such a way that just makes all of their humility go away? That is the anti-humility phrase, is to say that I'm the most humble person that ever has existed.
Yep.
Anybody who calls himself an expert on humility, you might want to question whether they really are the expert on humility.
I don't know whether you are an expert on humility, but it is the first H in H3 Leadership.
It is the first H of my book, H3 Leadership. Be humble. Uh-huh. That's the phrase. Be humble, which it's a good place to start. And there was a reason that humble and humility was the first H of the three H's, because I think, and Ron, you probably agree, that humility is the ultimate foundation for great leaders.
Oh, absolutely. I think it is. You know, it's a fine line. You want leaders that have got strong ego, that want to succeed. But as Jim Collins would say, you know, that level five leadership, that's that humility piece. That's understanding. But, you know, you've written about it. So, I mean, why does it matter?
Humility at its core is the awareness and the understanding that there's a bigger story going on than just you, that you're part of it, that you're integral to it, that you have a place and a role to play, and you've got a position. And without you being in the middle of the story, that there is no story in essence, but you're not the center of it. You're not the focus. The ultimate expression of winning and success is not that you do all the winning. It's that there's this bigger conversation, this bigger reality, that there are other people involved in the process, and that your job ultimately is to help them win and move them forward as much or more than moving yourself forward. So just that posture, that mindset, that I'm not the center. And everything about us as people and as leaders goes against that, which is that I am the center. I do create my own economy. I am the person in charge. The ultimate expression for me is when I get to the top and I am the CEO, I am the board chairman, I am the president, I am the executive director, that then I am the center of the spoke of the wheel and everybody revolves around me. And that's not true leadership. True leadership is that once you get to the top, as we've seen with John Wooden and his pyramid of leadership and other people who've talked about servant leadership and humility, once you're at the top, then you're ultimately at the bottom. That's where you move to, is that your job is to now raise others up above you and ahead of you and out in front of you, compared to you being the person now that everybody is sort of putting their attention on.
As I've mentioned earlier in a previous podcast, I worked for an incredible leader, a guy named Jack Danforth. And Senator Danforth, one of the great kind of leadership lessons was that idea of spoke in a wheel. And he said, you know, when we get up every day, it's the need of the people that's the center of the hub. That's the center of the wheel. We're the spokes of that, you know, old time wagon wheel. We're the spokes. And when you get to be the leader, you're the rim. You're the one that gets ground against the road, that holds the band together, that holds the spokes together so that you can serve the core.
That's good. I've never heard that analogy.
Yeah.
Instead of you being the middle.
Yeah, you're the outside. You're the one ground. You're paying the price every rotation. So using the strength of the spokes, but the hub is serving your core mission. That's the people. That's the needs. You know, I think that's something, by just turning that backwards from what most people think, I think that kind of helps that humility factor.
Yeah. Another way is to look at the pyramid that's, you know, the point is on the bottom, which is you, and then everything else is rising up. Another one is when you think of the leader who is, you know, picture this in your mind, you're sitting on a stagecoach and all the people are the horses that you're now like whipping, compared to a humble leader or a leader who's operating out of humility or a place of service, is you're lined up next to the people, which puts you out sort of in front with them, and you're dragging or pulling the stagecoach as much as you are leading the stagecoach. And those are just good word pictures or illustrations to think about in terms of, well, how do I even view this as it comes to an organization? Because the people who have the hardest time with humility are the ones who have risen to the most powerful places. The place where you are going to be the most tempted to not be humble is when you're put in places of power. And places of power, they are like the ultimate sucking room for taking all the humility out of you. Because all of a sudden, everything's about you and everybody's there to sort of serve you, and you know, people are there to take care of you, and you get surrounded by people who won't tell you the truth. And that is intoxicating for most of us. So even if you find yourself in that place, the leaders who I think prove humility out the most are the ones who are in places of power, but yet then reflect that, or at least shepherd it in a way that pushes that limelight, all the attention onto other people. You know, when you don't have anything to steward, when you don't have anybody who's asking you for stuff, when you're at the bottom of the food chain, it's really easy for you to be humble. So the average leader who's not caring a lot, when they talk about humility, I hear them and I think, thank you. I appreciate your response and your input. But those who are at the highest powers, when they live out humility, that's when we should take notice, because it's the hardest. When you're put in places of power and influence and title and position and hierarchy and corner office, and you get all the perks, you start to believe the hype. You start to look around and go, I am the middle of this story. I am the reason this organization exists. I am important. People are taking notice of me. And that's when you have to push against it the most in order to stay humble. It's really easy to be humble when you don't have anything to be.
Yeah. Well, you believe that, but I've known a lot of people who had big egos and all hat, no cattle.
You've spent a lot of time in the political circles.
Yeah, I have.
And politics is one of the places that will suck the humility out of you so fast. You don't even realize it. And you look around and people are, you know, if they're honest, they're saying to you, would you please, please go back to that humble leader we once knew? And there's just something about power. The halls of power many times will crumble your posture of humility.
I think you're dead on there. How does a leader protect themselves and their heart in the workforce? You wrote a book studying about this. How do we as leaders put those safeguards, those guardrails in place to help us stay humble? You know, I was elected city council when I was 21 in my hometown. And apparently after about a month, I'd been feeling pretty good about myself. You know, my grandfather was the male influence of my life that raised me. And so we had this famous, there's a porch swing on in my family home. It's just seven generations have lived in this same house. It's not fancy. It's just old. When I had to have a conversation with my grandfather, we would be on the porch swing. So he calls me on the porch swing and he says, how's elected life going? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, yeah, you're pretty important. Oh, yeah, I'm really important. You know, one of six.
Right.
I create law.
Yeah.
This is
a big deal.
And he said, so if the guy who picks up our trash doesn't do his job for a month and you don't do that job for a month, which one do you think people will notice first? Mm-hmm. And that was one of those humbling lessons that my job wasn't to be the out front leader. My job was to create an environment where others could lead and do great things, because that's all the people that elected me cared about, was that their trash got picked up and the sewer worked and the police showed up if they had an issue and the roads were patched. They didn't elect me for my ego to get inflated. It was a great lesson. It was great to learn early on.
I think anybody who is driven or has some form of ambition is going to wrestle with this at some point in your life of, am I truly living out of a place of humility or am I leaning into places of arrogance? The first thing is that most arrogant leaders, they're not arrogant because they're arrogant. They're arrogant because they're insecure. So insecurity, I think, is the driving factor that creates a symptom of arrogance. So what you see is arrogance, but what they're really dealing with emotionally and intellectually and spiritually, physically, mentally, all those areas, is they're insecure, meaning that their life is being built on this premise of, I hope nobody finds out. I hope nobody finds out I'm not that smart. I hope nobody finds out about all the things that I might be hiding. And so insecurity is many times feeling that. And the antidote to insecurity, I think, is self-awareness as a leader. And it's also authenticity and vulnerability and honesty and transparency. So the shortcut to how do you stay humble is that you're incredibly confident based on your willingness and awareness of who you are as a leader. And that means that you're equally aware of your strengths as well as your weaknesses. And you operate out of the strengths, but you're not afraid to be accountable for or to be vulnerable around things that you may not do well or the mistakes that you've made.
And to acknowledge them.
And to acknowledge them.
Famous, you can always tell when somebody's about to run for political office, they write a tell-all book about themselves.
Right.
You know, let's get it all out
there. Get it all out there because somebody's going to find out anyway.
Yeah, you can't use it against me if I acknowledge it and own it. Then I don't have to be scared of it.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this. You know, there's behind me, Brad and I are in the Linden Hill Studios. And behind me on the shelf is, you know, a can of mandarin oranges. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first time I ever told that story, it was told because I'd spent my whole life in fear that people would find out I grew up poor, you know, and had free lunch my whole life at school and climbed inside of Goodwill boxes to get clothing from donation boxes and was, you know, scared to death that people would judge me for that. And when I just decided no longer to be scared and started telling the stories about my early life is when I found my leadership capacity, authenticity went up and doors just flew open.
Right.
Because it was that fear that was creating an arrogance or a guard around my own leadership.
Yeah, it is true that the leaders who are the most humble many times are the most confident. There's a big difference between confidence and arrogance. And confidence is that I'm staying in my lane. I'm aware of what's happening around me, but I'm truly dialed into what my calling in life is, what my purpose is. And the more purposeful, the more called, the more confident you are, actually, the more humble you become, which we think it would just be the opposite. The more confident I become, the more arrogant I am. And that's not true. The more insecure you are, meaning that you're living this double life and you're hiding things and you're not transparent and you're not authentic, the more you become more arrogant, which is the opposite of humility. But again, so much of that goes back to insecurity. Insecure leaders typically have a really hard time living out of a place of humility because visually, figuratively, literally, they can't sit in the room and be okay with themselves because they're always thinking, I got to build the story bigger.
Somebody's going to come take this from me.
Yes.
And so the only way I can keep it is to build walls of pomposity around me. Is pomposity a word?
It sounds good to me. I went with it. No, I shook my head.
Yeah. So yeah, Bree said it was, and she has a degree in communications and wordification.
Wordification.
Yes.
Pomposity on the wordification scale is a five.
Yeah. So
I think the other thing, Ron, is if you do wrestle with this, I've said this before, and I think it's a good kind of hack for being humble, especially on a team. You watch this with sports teams. You love it when the interview of the quarterback becomes all about somebody else on the team. You don't really enjoy watching that interview when they go, well, you know, I've really been working on my passing skills and we've been working hard. And I felt like this was one of my great games. I mean, I was really on today. Man, I was zipping that ball around. We love it when leaders reflect or they deflect the credibility to somebody else. And so if you do have a time that you can be arrogant about the rest of your team. I mean, brag on them. Absolutely just crush it as it relates to talking about your team, but don't talk about yourself.
It's that old cliche of nobody's candle ever got dimmer by lighting the next guy's candle.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's a lot about this idea of being humble.
And it'll release some of that pressure valve for you of, God, I want to just brag on something. Yep. And don't brag on yourself, though. Just talk about your team. And man, make them the heroes of the story. But if it's reflecting on you, then that may be a true statement that you did do all the work and you were the reason that this was successful. But nobody wants to hear that.
That'll all eventually come out. So let others lift you up. Again, my grandfather, some of those same conversations was, you know, never sit at the front of the room, never sit at the best table. If you're at a banquet, never assume, because you don't want to be the person that they ask to get up and move. So always sit at the back and let somebody ask you to come forward. When it's your turn, they will.
Yeah.
You don't have to blow that horn yourself.
That's good. Let somebody else blow the horn for you.
Yep.
Yeah, be the hungry second, not the arrogant first.
Yeah, that's great advice.
Well, speaking of humble, I am about to get kicked off the podcast for like, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row because
seven weeks in a row, you're off.
I am out of here, folks. I mean, this is my chance to go take a smoke break.
Yeah, well, metaphorically.
Yeah, metaphorically, of course. Yeah, but I'm gone because we are going to be taken over here on the Always Forward Leadership Podcast by Calus University, which is, I think we should give the people a little bit of a tease here, Ron.
Yeah,
the next 7 weeks of this podcast are going to be taken over by some of our friends, some of the favorite voices and speakers at Calus University over the years.
Yeah, some incredible people. So Greg McEwen will be joining us. Greg's book, Essentialism, you and I have both read and spent a little with Greg. And so Bob Goff will be joining us. So one of my favorite people in the entire world.
Buckle your seatbelt. Here we go.
That's it. Propaganda, the great propaganda.
Great propaganda.
And
these are all folks who will be speaking.
All speaking at
coming
Catalyst
up in January.
University, January 25th in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
So don't check out. This is going to be like we're taking it to the next level here with these interviews. And it is highlighting and broadcasting and talking about promoting the upcoming event, but this will be value-add content. This is not just going to be one big promotion.
No, this isn't, hey, why should people buy their seats? This is them coming forward to lift up the listeners and give them somewhat of a taste of what they're going to see at Catalyst, but also it's a lot of what you're not going to see there when we talk about their leadership and why we've curated them to come join us in January. It's one of my favorite things to do, and it also get some other voices involved, and that makes it pretty exciting. So
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be listening as intently as I am trying to co-host with you. So whether you're on a river fly fishing while you're listening to us, or you're on the bike or on the treadmill or in your car, or maybe you're in your office and you're not working right now, you're just listening to us. We do always appreciate you being a part of this journey with us.
We do. We appreciate you joining us each week for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.